Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Talking Blues podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm joined by my friends Alex and Peter. I might sound a little bit hoarse. I might sound a little bit monotone today. Well, a couple things have to do with that. I'm away now. I am not home. I'm visiting my grandparents in Florida, so very exciting here. And you think, oh, Florida, like everyone in the U.S., you know, that you know, it's like the heat is so hot, and, you know, you get a break for everyone who's, you know, on the East Coast, at least upper.
Josh, thanks for telling us that the heat is hot.
Anyway, everyone on the
that was upper, funny. It was hilarious. Sorry.
You know, they're used to the cold, and then you take a vacation in the Florida to get to the warmth. And right now it's 50 something degrees and rainy. So what did I come here for? Visiting family. That's what it is. You have to keep that in mind. We love that. Anyway, I'm in basically like an Airbnb with all my family right now. I love how this is like a 10-minute explanation, but I'm doing it anyway. So I don't have my mic, and I don't want to wake everyone up. So I think that's pretty fair. So that is why I sound like this. But I still want to make it clear, because this is a very personal thing to my heart. Chelsea lost to Wolves 2-1 on Sunday. That was Christmas Eve. And what happened? Well, Alex and Peter were away. And what happened? An episode didn't get recorded. But who was willing to record that episode? Me. Because I was home and I was going to do it by myself. But I wasn't allowed to because they wanted to join. But then they never could because, you know, they don't value this podcast the same way that I do. Now look at what happens. Roles reversed. I mean, Peter's still away. But this is why we have to wake up at 9 a.m. East Coast time to record this episode. Just for Peter. And then Alex is home.
By the way, I'm just saying, you can't say you're extremely committed to the podcast and then complaining about a wake-up time for it. That's actually hypocritical. So,
we did not record the episode after the Christmas Eve match because you guys were away and not committed to the podcast.
To be fair, it was also Christmas Eve.
See? Yeah.
And then Christmas the following day.
Well,
exactly.
When you're Jewish, we don't have to worry about that stuff. So, but again, was going to record it solo, wasn't allowed.
That's not true. You could have done it.
But then
such a lie.
Like, okay. Anyway, guys, we're here to talk about Chelsea's. Well, I guess we could talk about Chelsea's loss against the Wolves too. But Chelsea's loss against the Wolves, but
we don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
Let's see how Peter does in the hosting role, guys. Here we go. Well, you're getting into it already. What are we talking about today, Peter?
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of Talking Blues Podcast. My name's Peter. I'm joined by my co-host, Josh and Alec. You know, I'm doing a really good
I just fell off my chair, but, Peter.
I think, Peter, when you're supposed to host, you don't currently crack up during the intro. So,
I think
we'll throw it back to me. Chelsea's 2-1 win over Crystal Palace that occurred yesterday, and we're recording the morning after, to talk about Chelsea's good ball movement in the first half. Matt Awake scoring a winning penalty to get Chelsea the win in like the 90th minute. When does this happen to our football club this season? Chelsea's in 10th now after beating Crystal Palace, which is one of the better sides left in the European Championship. What's going on right now? Like, what are we talking about here? Yeah, okay. Anyway, I know Crystal Palace is up there in 15th. Chelsea's sitting there in 10th, so I don't know really how much we should be celebrating. But, you know, take the wins where we can get them. And another win that hopefully should be occurring is against Luton Town, another relegated side, or soon to be, this upcoming weekend. But again, before that, we'll talk about Chelsea's match. Guys, I'll send it to you. I guess like the how you're doing part is kind of already out the window, but I'll still ask it anyway and then get your opening remarks about this game.
Well, I'm doing well. I'm actually very disappointed now that my hosting role was temporarily revoked after my 1 minute of doing it. But, you know, as I always say, I'm doing better after Chelsea win. So it's great to see that. It's great to see that we look like a competent side at times. I think definitely we started the game out very, very, very strong. I think Mudryk definitely performed well at the beginning. He made a lot of good runs. Obviously, he scored the opener. But then I think as the game along, we kind of just faded away a little bit, and then especially after they scored the goal. But really, not until Madueke came on in the last 20, 15 minutes did we look like we actually looked dangerous again. Because at that point, they just put everyone back behind the ball. And as we know, Chelsea aren't capable of breaking down low blocks. So, I mean, even I don't want to say the penalty was lucky, but I mean, it came off of a corner. So we didn't even break down the low block, because Madueke was just on the edge of the box. He makes a good move, gets tripped. But obviously, a win's a win. And that's the most important thing. And we needed the win. And so I'm glad that we could win, even if maybe I wouldn't say we didn't deserve to win, because I thought we looked dangerous for a lot of the game. But I think Crystal Palace, it could be fair to say that their fans would be disappointed with the result that they got in this game.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it wasn't a convincing performance, that's for sure. And I think that's something that us Chelsea fans are really striving for at this point. Can we win a game 3-0, 4-0? I know I'm talking crazy things right now. You guys are in disbelief, but 3-4-0, 3-1, 4-1, something where we're winning by more than one goal would really be, I think, beneficial to this team's confidence, to the fans' confidence,
It'd be
to
pretty cool,
everyone.
Alex, is what it would be.
It would be awesome, wouldn't it? And I think, that is the key. If we can start, yes, stringing together a series of wins, but a series of convincing wins would be better. Obviously, I know I'm sounding like Mr. Obvious right now, but whatever, I'll get back into the game now. I thought in general, the front four, I should say, operated pretty decent to start the game, but then kind of like you said, Peter, faded off toward the middle of the game until some changes were made. Madueke came on, like you said. Broja, I thought he came on. He had like a good initial burst where he looked very good, like directly after coming on, and then just was terrible. Ever pretty much right after that. I thought Nkunku out of a pretty good game. Mudryk was obviously excellent right in the beginning of the game. He had that beautiful pass in. I believe it was to Ian Mattson, I want to say, or it was either Mattson or Nkunku. And that, almost ended up going in. And I thought, obviously one of the headlines of the game here, Lavia came on. He looked, kind of for a short cameo, to be fair, but he looked pretty decent, I guess you could say, coming off of that long-term injury. So it was good to see him back on the pitch as well.
But did you see, unfortunately, that after the game, it's been confirmed by Posh that he actually picked up the thigh issue after the game. He played
I mean,
30
of
minutes in
course.
his
I
bed.
mean, Peter, what
Why
can
can we have a nice thing?
it's impossible. I mean, how can you come on for a cameo and not get injured? It's impossible.
Yeah,
What
exactly.
you expected exactly.
So, yeah, but just wanted to throw that in there, too. That, yeah, there is a thigh issue. I'm not sure if we've gotten more news this morning, but just to make people aware of it, that as good, he's obviously he's not going to look good because he's rusty, but and now he's going to probably be on the set for another spell on the sideline, so he'll be even more rusty when he comes back the next time.
Guys, I just want to give credit to Chelsea and the way that their ball movement showed really in the first 30 minutes of this match. It was very creative. It left open lanes, especially for that Mikhail and Mudryk goal. I think that was set up because of good ball movement in the front side. And Chelsea were able to kind of expose Crystal Palace early. Also, we had a couple other chances that I wish were goals, right? You have that Nkunku chance late in the first half. You had Ian Mattson with a shot wide. We had Nico Jackson with an opportunity. I mean, this game could have been, like you said, Alex, if those Chelsea players were able to take on those runs and finish at the net. In the early stages of this match, and like I said, the first 30 to 40 minutes, it could have been 3-0. But it's just a matter of kind of, we already have the ball movement down. We're already passing it pretty well amongst each other. And now it's just a matter of finishing. Was Chelsea able to finish and get that goal? And they were not able to do that besides the Mudryk chance. But I do like to give credit to Nico Jackson up front. I would like to give credit to Mattson. And I would like to, give credit to Nkunku and Mudryk. And, being able to see Nkunku now sort of, I don't know if thriving is too big of a term to say, but starting to fit in, I guess, with this Chelsea team now coming off of injury. It's a really good thing, and happy thing to see. But then on the other end, after that 30 to 40 minutes, you know, we break down on a counterattacking chance, right? And then that's why Elisa gets that goal. By the way, off his chest, that was a beautiful touch. I mean, that's something that you only, not only see, but, you know, you see from really good players. And Michael Elisa, I think, fits that mold. I think you guys would agree, you know, to get that touch, you know, and then the goal off of that from the cross was a really nice goal. But it's just like something that kind of alludes to what I was talking about. We have all this pressure and then we lose it. And then one counter attack opportunity stems from it for the opposite side. And Crystal Palace is just able to capitalize on that. And boom, it's 1-1. And we take that all the way to the 89th minute where Chelsea are, you know, you could say somewhat lucky enough to get a penalty and not lucky. I mean, Madueke, you know, able to score that penalty is a different story, but you know, it's another game where I would still kind of say Chelsea might have led the possession, but Crystal Palace led the attack, if that makes any sense. I just felt like besides those 20 to 30 minutes, it really did seem like whoever was getting most of the shots on board, and when I read the stats later, we'll see if I'm right, was mostly, you know, Crystal Palace, from what I'm trying to remember.
I'd say that's pretty fair, because, I mean, it's kind of what's always happened when we go against a team that's set up in a low block, is that we just try to pass the ball around. We looked really stagnant for most of the game. We did well in those 30-45 minutes because we constantly were moving the ball around. We had players who would dribble up, dribble around, create passing lanes. But after those 30 minutes, it was just what always happens, where we go into a low block, we make one bad pass after just passing around for a bit, and then they counter. And that's basically what happened for most of the game until, I mean, I said it earlier, but we kind of got lucky with the penalty. But I was really expecting it to be a draw or loss after they scored that goal, because once they can sit back and defend, it's really hard for Chelsea always. And it's not even like a Posh thing. It's just Chelsea in general. We have every manager we've had has been unable to beat a low block. But yeah, I'd agree with you, Josh. I think maybe the shots will be pretty even on the stats, but I feel like a lot of those shots are kind of empty, so to speak. And I feel like it was pretty even. And I think Crystal Palace definitely looked more dangerous than Chelsea did for a majority of that game. And I just want to, speaking of them looking dangerous, I want to say Badiashile looked, second straight game, he's looked a bit, I don't want to say he's looked war, but he's made some crucial mistakes, and obviously he's a young center back, right? It's gonna happen. But I think making that first mistake, obviously giving Wolves a free goal, and then coming here, he, I forget what it was, but he very much let I think it was Mateta just get the ball around him, and they create a good chance off of it. I think he's obviously talented, we've seen what he can do, but I just wanted to have your guys' thoughts on his performance and like what we should do with him and how we can get him back to his best, because we obviously know how class the player is.
Peter, what is this? Well, what is this pronunciation? You're making us all look like fools here. Badiashile.
Badiashile.
That's better, I think, right there. Well, I would agree with you. I think he's been shaky at times, but I think there's also been movement around him, which also doesn't help, whether it's at the left back spot or his, you know, center back spot next to him, or even shifts in the midfield right in front of him. Like, there's been a lot of movement, a lot of turnover, and I think that could be part of it. And also just, you know, it's obviously this Chelsea team's just not playing at their top confidence level. And, you know, I think he's probably a part of that, where, you know, this team's just not playing at its best, and you know, that kind of lowers the standard of the, you know, of every player that's in there as well. So I think that could be part of the issue. And yeah, I would agree, he wasn't great against Palace. I don't think he was great against Wolves. So yeah, it's definitely tough, but he's also a young player. I know he seems so you know, old and composed and experienced on the ball, but you know, as a player, he's really, I believe he's like, what, 22 23? I don't think he's that old, so he's still a very young player, but in comparison to some of the other younger guys on the team, he, you know, he seems very experienced and you know, more of one of the leaders on the team, but that's not really the case. Yeah, he's 22.
Oh, that's how you end it.
I was gonna end it there, and then I was like, yeah, he's 22, because I confirmed it.
He just like finished the same. He's like, and yeah, he's 22, and just yeah. Mutes.
Yep, I'm done. That's all I had to say.
No, yeah, I mean, you summed it up pretty well, and you actually reminded me, Alex, that in the back of Chelsea's formation is not only Badia Shield, but also another Chelsea young player who's even younger at 20 years old, and that was Malo Gusto, who I was giving credit to like four or five players pulling like a Peter when I was talking a little bit earlier, and I forgot to shout out Malo Gusto, who looked absolutely phenomenal in this match, I would say, and we'll get to that you know, a little bit later. If you guys are down, we'll do those Chelsea player match ratings because it was a Chelsea win. But I do wanted to give credit to Malo Gusto because I thought his performance is pretty superb, and hopefully Goal.com agrees with that, as Peter and Goal.com have a little bit of beef right now. We'll get to that a little bit later. Chelsea's stats, or just the stats from this match, 13-9, Crystal Palace led that, 5-4 shots on target, also led by Crystal Palace, but Chelsea led the possession with 64% of it, almost 300 more passes than Crystal Palace. Fouls 16-13, Crystal Palace led that. 3-2 and yellow cards, Chelsea led that. Offsides was actually 6-3 Crystal Palace, but that goal ruled off late by Nico Jackson. Luckily, it didn't matter in the end of things. And then 4-3 corners, Chelsea led that. And like I said, with this win, Chelsea now moves into 10th. Although Wolves is still tied with them in points-wise, and same thing with Bournemouth with 25, but Chelsea do still sit in 10th due to goal differential being plus 2. And their next match is against Luton Town on Saturday at 7:30 for us. We're going to talk about that game in a little bit, but first, are you guys good with doing Chelsea player ratings?
Let's do it.
You have to keep the tradition alive.
Let's do it.
So we're going to go to goal.com again. For Alex, who doesn't know because he wasn't here, Peter and I have now discovered that the average is not a 6, it is a 5. Okay, so keep that in mind. The average is a 5 for goal.com. Peter, any other pointers that you want to give Alex and kind of explain your beef with goal.com a little bit to him, maybe?
Well, like, don't be reasonable, okay? Some of these ratings are very unreasonable. Like, you're going to be like, oh, it's definitely a 6. It's a 5. Or, oh, it's definitely an 8. It's like a 6 or like a 9.
Okay.
You just have
so
to
just so just say random numbers.
Honestly, it might be better than trying to actually get it right. I'm not going to lie.
Are you guys working together though?
Obviously. Yeah. Obviously. This is Josh, we're a team. You understand on this podcast?
The chemistry shown by Chelsea in this game. And at least that's what we're going to show right now.
Yeah, I'm calling my shot. I believe we get at least a 5 out of 11. Bang.
We better get at least a 5 out of 11. That's like an average performance.
All right. I'm saying 7 out of 11. Peter, I just said like something. I'm like,
we'll see if you live up to those standards. How about that? All right. Let's start off with the first player, Petrovic and Nat.
I'd say a 6.
Yeah.
1 for 1 so far. Not really.
Who let us cook?
One good stop at his near post. Guy I just spoke about, Malo Gusto.
It's a 7 or an 8, I think.
But nobody got the assist. Like a 6.
No, okay. It can't. If it's a six, we're switching from goal.com next time. Because
all right,
that's
7.
Is a 6, I don't know what it is. Really? But he got the assist too. He got the assist.
Eight, 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 eight.
No, but it could be 7.
Oh my god.
It like has to. I'm gonna say 8 just because he was my player that match, so I have to go.
All right,
that's 8. Just like my personal thing.
Guys, 2 for 2. Malo Gusto, an 8 out of 10. Almost unplayable in the first half. He found so much space down the right. Bizarre decision from Pochettino to move him to the opposite side, which stifled his influence. Although they still give him an 8, so there you go there. Axel De Sassi.
I thought he was very 6. Impressive. I mean, no. Well, I agree it's a 6, probably, but I just want to say he's impressive because he keeps being forced to play right back because Poch wants to move Gusto to left back so center back can play right back. But I thought for that reason he was pretty good. But I do think his performance was a 6.
All right, so your first loss, which is not that bad.
It's a 7 because they gave him a 7 last time too because they're going to 5. Whoa. He's shaking his head right now.
Five. If he... Defended pretty well, but was untidy in possession at times, is what Goal.com says. And they gave Axel Disasi the average 5.
I guess that's fair.
Betty Shield.
4 or 5. Probably 5.
I would say 5, yeah.
You guys, you know how Peter talked earlier about, you know, the outlandish ways of Goal.com?
In games like a 7 or something?
Yeah. A shaky start, but grew into the game nicely. Did not put a foot wrong on the ball. Batty Ishiel gets a 7. You guys are 2 for 4.
Put a foot wrong. He very much did put a foot wrong. I can pull up the clip.
Oh, you just got the receipts, guys.
This is what I'm talking about.
Levi Colwell.
Cole was also poor. Average is 5, though.
Well, Batty Ishiel just got a 7.
Yes, a 6.
Oh, a 6.
Guys, I'm going to just keep playing with your heads a little bit. You're going 2 for 5 because Levi Colwell got a 4.
That's
had to win the header for Elise's goal. He didn't. And the Frenchman scored not his best night and was subbed off before the hour mark. All right, on to the midfield. Moises Caicedo.
So my head is, I don't know where my head is at. I don't 6? Know. This, you know, I would say 6-2, but like I could see him being anything from a 5 to a 7.
6.
6, tough.
Josh?
Peter didn't confirm. It was just Alex.
I said 6-2, but I said 6.
I'm sorry.
From a 5-2.
And then he started saying it could be any number.
Well, you guys said 6 in there because you're 2 for 6, and Moises Caicedo got a 7. Played some really nice cross-field passes and broke things up in the midfield. Connor Gallagher.
7?
No, it's a 6.
All right. I'm just like,
I could see it being a
played
five,
similar right? level to Caicedo.
No, Gallagher was bad. Gallagher gave the ball away a lot of times. He's had much better games than this. But I'd still say 6.
All right, let's go 6. Well.
Let's start listening to Alex Morford.
Oh my Peter. God.
Connor Gallagher.
No, he was, game was not a 7.
And that was all not a 7. Action performance moved to a number 10 position in the second half and would have had an assist if Jackson could just finish.
That's fair, I guess.
I seem to out the last part a little bit. I just said if Jackson could finish, but yeah.
Oh, I wish they said that because that actually gave me respect for them.
I mean, they did say it. They said, and would have had an assist if Jackson could finish. They said that.
Mm. Oh.
I just made it a little more impactful with my speaking.
Mm-hmm.
My I see. I think you guys are now 2 for 7, and we go to Christopher Nkunku.
7?
I'd say 7. I thought he was very solid. Maybe the missed chance will bring it down, but I have no idea at this point. I'll just say 7.
3 for 8 you go. Get one Let's right go. Here. Linked Chelsea together wonderfully as an advanced midfielder before being shifted out wide for the final stages of a 70-minute outing. And Nkunku with the 7. We move to the attack, and we start with Ludrick.
This one's tough because...
8? 7?
Because... 8 for like the first 30 minutes, but then the rest of the game he was kind of non-existent.
But the goal. But the goal.
8. But Gusto got an 8, and they said he was unplayable. Like, so like, that was like, that's like high praise.
Yeah, but like, didn't like Disasi get a 7?
Disasi got a 5. That is she. She'll got a 7.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just say 8.
Yeah, Mudrik gets a 7 here.
Bro,
I knew it too.
He knew it, guys.
3 for 9. Okay, scored just his 4th Chelsea goal. Was encouraging to see him link up so effectively with Nkunku. Nico Jackson up front.
6.
They literally mentioned that Jackson couldn't finish in a different player, like
5
rating. It's king of 4, but let's go 5. Because he had good link-up play. Okay, I'm going to preface my writing by saying he should have gotten an assist if Nkunku could finish. So, take that goal.com, but it's going to be like a 3. But I'll say 5.
5.
Yeah, Peter's got the right mindset here. You guys are 3 for 10. Nico Jackson gets a 4 on the day. Some good movements, but a lot of errors too. None bigger than the gift-edged chance he missed in the second half. Had another chalked off for offside soon after. Poor lad.
That's oh my god.
I mean, it's kind of fair though. Like, you gotta finish those chances, man. Like, It's sad at this point.
And then your final player, and by the way, it's now unreachable to get five, and I was going to wait until the end to tell Alex you never call your shots before they happen, so you won't get five. And that's
if we get this right, if we get this right, and we get Potch right, it's basically five.
Yeah, we'll
right, let's go. That. Let's go.
See if you get this right first. Ian Mattson.
Five. Six.
No. From Mattson, he was horrible.
Five. Four.
I can,
I'm just saying random numbers at this
3, 2,
point.
1, bro. Go all the way down.
I've given up
on system. Let's just say four.
All right, let's go four.
Yep. And so it's not possible because Ian Mattson got a five. Finally,
bro, of course I start
and seemed to be trying too hard to impress the time.
Of course, just did it.
Didn't give Pochettino much to think about with his play. That ends you guys with a 3.
Bro, Poch probably got
record
like 2.
Again, this is why you never call your shots before it happens, especially with
quick fire player ratings. Quick fire subs, if we get them all right. If we get them all right, it basically counts.
You're going to get the first one wrong. Lavia.
6. 5. 6.
5.
6.
6. 5. 7. 8. 9. 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9.
We'll go 6. We'll go 6.
Agreed. Okay. Cool. 6 is right. Thiago Silva.
Ooh. I'd say also 6.
Yeah.
Right. 2 for 2. Broja.
He was ass. He was good, but then he came 5, probably.
6. You're wrong. Done.
What?
Okay.
Why?
Over. Madueke.
7.
A winning goal, though. 8.
But like he didn't do much besides.
Yeah, he was good defensively. Honestly, I'd say 8.
Defensively, he's an attacker, Peter.
He scored the winning goal too. He can do both.
Bro, fine. 8.
7.
Yeah, Peter, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you.
And Gilchrist doesn't get 1 because it was too short of it.
Wait, 10 of 10 because he showed passion up the chels.
All right, you know what? If it wasn't for Peter and it was just me doing this, I'd get 11 out of 11. All right, I was cooking.
Anyway,
11 because he's
anyway.
Sorry, Poch's rating. I'll give him a 6.
Bro, how does Poch get a 6? Like a 4? I thought some of his subs and decisions bring boost to.
I disagree with it.
Let's switch it up. I'll read the description and we'll figure out the rating. His decision to move Gusto to the left and Nkunku to the right.
Like
just before the hour didn't...
What, Alex?
That's what I just said. That's why. Like, I just said that. That's
his decision to the right just before the hour didn't make a great deal of sense and seemed to affect Chelsea going forward. Then again, it created enough to win. To win this, thank goodness for Madueke. A player the manager clearly wasn't the biggest fan of before today. Because of that description, what do you think Goal.com gave Pochettino?
I've seen them have that description on a player and give them like a 9. So I have no idea. That didn't help me at all. But I think that sounds average, so I'll say 5.
I'm going to go 4. I'm standing pat with mine because I don't believe in Peter right now.
Okay, I'll say 5. He says 4.
5 for Pochettino.
Bro.
Peter is right.
What happened? Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Let's wrap it up.
All right. Before our Zoom time runs out, because Alex and Peter can't agree on anything, we're going to talk about Luton Town once again. Saturday, December 30th, the match is at 7:30 a.m. for us. I believe that's 12:30 p.m. for everyone watching in the UK. So you guys can have lunch and we can wake up to some breakfast. Luton Town sits in 18th with 15 points. Again, another side that is facing relegation and most likely will get relegated back down, which is, you know, something that they've kind of had to deal with the past few seasons. And actually, is this their first year out of the championship? I feel like they've been up and down at least the past like few years now.
This is the first year out of the championship. You said at Luton Town, right? This is away, right?
It's a good question. It is away.
Ooh, so that'll be fun because obviously they have
the stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no capacity in the Premier League because we walk through apartments to get to, or not even like townhouses to get to Luton Town Stadium.
Exactly.
Chelsea sit in 10th with 25 points, like I talked about earlier. And then after that, they're off for a week. They come back and they face Preston in the third round of the FA Cup. I don't know if we'll have a recap on that. And then we'll see what happens, because following that's the two legs of the semifinal against Middlesbrough in the EFL Cup. But for right now, we thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Talking Blues Pod to find out when new episodes get released. You can subscribe also on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to get that same info. And we thank you so much for joining us for this episode. For Alex and Peter, I'm Josh, saying go Blues. Have a good one. And we'll see you when we see you in the future at some point. Most likely after Chelsea, we would hope, beats a relegation side.